The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Pollard streaks in. Touchdown.
Parsons has sacked it.
Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's a wonderful Wednesday edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, live from the Star in Frisco, Texas, in the SWBC studios. It is Wild Card Weekend. Cowboys, Packers, Sunday afternoon, 3:30 kickoff from beautiful AT&T Stadium. We've got Isaiah Standback back in the building today.
Oh, yeah.
John Mashoda, Nick Harris, Chris Beam. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Sorry, bud.
Oh, sorry for your loss. I apologize.
Yeah. How was it? Was it fun?
It was cool. It was really cool.
Got to go with the kiddo.
I got to go with the kiddo, man. I got to see some of my teammates. Didn't see a lot of them because I had the kid and a lot of the events that were going on
because you were
the kid friendly.
Yeah, you were in like the VIP section and they were in the general pub.
Yeah,
public.
No, that definitely wasn't the case. But
he landed in the helicopter on top of NRG.
They
No, but
rappelled down.
No, my seats. I was sitting at the club level. And 300 level,
mm-hmm.
And
okay. Flex.
No, I don't know. It wasn't no suite. It was just a higher price ticket with higher view than I probably would want. Mm-hmm. But it was cool. I got a chance to sit next to my guy Warren Moon. That was cool. Two quarterbacks watching the game together. It's probably a bad idea because we literally are talking through all the different situations.
Really bad for whoever sat around you.
Yeah. I think he had his dentist with him. That's who he brought to the game. that's very interesting. But
yeah.
So it was literally myself, my son, and Warren Moon. Like that was the lineup there in our row. And then a couple rows back was the dude from Barstools. What's his name?
Dave Portnoy.
I guess.
Like,
yeah.
The president?
Yeah.
The main guy.
Yeah, the main guy.
He was a few rows behind you.
Yeah.
Oh, so you had better seats
shut
than,
up, Kyle.
He than
had
him.
He had a better.
Interesting.
Better view, I guess.
It's like a multimillionaire.
Yeah, he was locked. Apparently, he's like a big-time Michigan fan. But he was locked in. Yeah, he was geared up, locked in. Like, it was ridiculous.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
You should have gotten a
there's
in
a little
a
more
John.
To that, though, because they're making content.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you were going there to make content. Like, you know, like.
No, he definitely had his photographers and stuff there, like taking pictures of him watching
so
the
weird.
Game. But you could tell he was genuinely into the game. Like, he was locked in on the game. Like, he was cool. People were going up and taking pictures with him. He's like, okay, yeah. And he's like, just like, get back to the game.
Like, imagine if, like, Brad Sham showed up to a Cowboys game with, like, film crew every week.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, it would
just
be like that.
Content.
It'd be anybody like
worth?
That.
Do what?
Dave Portnoy?
Yeah. Take a guess what his net worth is.
100 million?
Is it triple digits? I would say 80.
I know he sold that company a couple years ago for a ton.
And then bought it back
for like half the price or
not
something.
Not even
like
half
dollar.
The price. Like a dollar.
Yeah. Oh, really?
He bought it back for
that's
a dollar.
That's crazy.
What is it?
$150 million.
Goodness. Good for him.
Started a website.
He built that from the ground up. So
hey, and good on that site you're on right now, what does it say the net worth is for Isaiah Standback?
$15.
Well, he had better seats, so it's probably $151 million.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
What I thought.
I would love for my name to pop up on there, and it says like $17.27. Like
don't forget the 27.
Yeah, it's very important.
Need that 27.
It says $16
million. You're right.
Yeah.
False. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Warren Moon. My bad.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely not.
You got a good
Beam
picture.
Throwing shots back there.
Definitely not.
You got a good picture there. I like that. The one of you and your son and Warren Moon.
That was awesome. Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah,
I was glad to my. That was. It was important to me because Warren Moon was very important to me and my development and my tenure over there at the University of Washington. He was the first African American quarterback. I was the second. We were sitting there watching the fourth. It was pretty dope.
Yeah.
Pretty dope. Pretty surreal. My son had no idea. I was sitting there talking to my son. I'm like, you know who the first black quarterback was at the University of Washington? He was like, yeah, you. I said, you know who the second one was? He was like, yeah, you. I was like, you know who the first one was? He was like, no. I'm like, that guy. He was like, and Warren's over there eating popcorn. Like,
That's me.
That's me. So.
Who's the third?
Price.
I don't remember Price's first name.
I can look it up.
Well, yeah. Price.
Keith Price.
I found
Price.
This picture
Keith
the other Price. Day on Instagram. It made me think of you. I forgot to send it to you.
Yeah, that's a dope one.
A little throwback.
That Afro's
throwback
amazing.
Warren Moon. That is awesome.
Warren Moon with
that
dubs.
That is super awesome. Yeah. That I couldn't have told you he went to UW until like you came.
Really?
Around. Yeah, I couldn't have told you that.
Yeah, he's a beast, man.
Yeah, it's awesome, though.
That dude that broke Husky. All the records in Canada and NFL. It's just
insane. Yeah. Keith Price?
Keith Price, yeah.
When I first started like really watching college football as a kid, though, Washington's guy was Steve Ettman, and I
Steve,
saw him.
Yeah, he was there. I wish I could have saw him, man. There are so many alumni events that I just couldn't attend because they're usually at bars or they had like I think they we had Offset and some other people at
so
our party.
So I heard that it was tough for like some of the pregame tailgating things like that because of the weather.
The weather
was so
trash,
bad.
Bro. Yeah, we were going to get to the stadium early, but it was literal thunderstorms. Like we were driving there and the clouds were rolling in.
It's like hail.
I had the sunroof open and then you just feel like that gust of cold air come through. You're like, oh, because it was like a 73 degree day. It was cloudy, you know, on and off rain. And then it dropped down to like 40, like immediately. And it was just freezing rain and it was nasty. So like we parked. And like you just try to hurry up and run in the stadium. And then after the game, it was pouring again. I was like, come on, man. And then we walked the wrong direction. And I was like, where the heck did we park at?
That's how it was last year at SoFi for the Georgia TCU National Championship. Okay. And like the people that were sitting in the upper deck of that stadium were just getting rained on.
That's right.
It was pouring rain.
That's right, because it's open.
Nui was
that
one of them.
Sucks.
Nui was one of them. That's tough.
Poor Nui.
Yeah. But all right. It is what it is. But now it's all Cowboys, baby. Yeah. You know, my boys had a chance. They dropped the ball. Now Cowboys got to deliver.
College football, over.
Over, baby.
It's in the back.
Wild card round. Wild card. Time for a little Uno.
Time for a little news and notes.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't a lot that happened in the building yesterday, as per usual. Yeah. So that there's not a whole lot to dive into on news and notes. I guess you could take a look at the defensive unit and just kind of the confidence that's being built around the defensive unit going into the playoffs. They're coming off a stretch where allowing 88 rushing yards per game, 17 points per game in the final three games, and Jayron Kearse, a couple other guys, a lot of confidence in that unit. Dan Quinn expressed that on Monday as well. So the more I look at this Green Bay game and the more that I kind of see what they do well, defenses that they have done well against, I feel really good about this Cowboys matchup. You know, I think the more I look into it, the more confidence I have that this team should be able to pull this one off and pull it off comfortably. Yeah.
No updates yet on Tyron Smith. Tyler Smith, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, Tyron Smith, he's good. No, should be.
For
ready
now.
To go. Yeah, knock on wood. Tyler Smith and Zach Martin, appears both of those guys are trending in the right direction. We'll get more on that today, correct?
Yeah.
In terms of practice.
Stephon Gilmore as well.
Same thing with Stephon.
Yeah.
Didn't McCarthy say on Monday that he thought, as of Monday, he thought Tyler would be in the limited category, I think.
Yeah.
Which is a step up from last week.
Yeah, for sure, sure. And that would be huge if he's able to get on the field as limited today. Although I don't expect him to be limited today. Because like some of the times on Wednesdays, they'll be like, yeah, we expect him to be limited, and then they don't practice just because those Wednesdays, they take really light. I would be surprised if he's limited today, but I think tomorrow would be the big determining factor on if there's actually a little bit of concern going further into the week. That's just me, though. That's my thinking.
I'm wondering if they're going to practice outside or because they're – it's cold outside, but they're also playing inside.
Yeah.
And if they win, they'll play inside again. So I'm wondering how that will be today.
I mean, there's only a possibility of one more potential outdoor game the rest of the way.
And it's in California.
That's if they play in San Francisco. Right. And that would be warm, you would hope.
Yeah, you would think that'd be sunny in 75, if you hope. Yeah. Now, I'm interested just from a mindset standpoint.
Grass.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, that is the difference.
What I'm saying, you want them to practice on grass as much as possible because of how much easier it is on the joints.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested from a player standpoint. Did you like it more going into playoffs? Because you were in playoff scenarios with multiple teams.
Yeah.
Did you like it better if you kept the schedule completely the same, didn't change anything, completely business as usual, or maybe a little bit more emphasis, a little bit more intensity?
Business as usual.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why is that?
Because you want it to, as much as you know it's not a normal week, you want it to feel as if it's a normal week. Because, you know, the reality is football players and most professional athletes are creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to break that habit. You don't want anything to mess with that schedule. So you want to keep it as normal as possible. I mean, now you're still going to have more film. You're still going to put in more hours, all that kind of stuff. And people are going, oh, why don't you put those hours in the regular season? Listen, y'all, you do. But this is playoffs, so you put in more. It's overtime. It's unpaid overtime. So you go out there, you take care of business in that regard. But, yeah, you want it to be as normal as possible so that you can go out there and your clock is rolling. You don't. That's why you don't like those Saturday games. Those Saturday games throw you off.
Completely flip it.
They completely screw you up. You know, Thursday games screw you up, and except for Cowboys, are used to that. But those Saturday games, man, for playoffs really, really suck because your body clock now, you obviously turn it on, right? But your natural clock, you know, that's in your body, like, it's not on. You wake up that day, and you're like, oh, okay, oh, crap, we got a game today. Oh, you know, so you got to kind of kick yourself into gear. So I'm happy that those guys have a Sunday afternoon game.
And with this particular team and the situation that they're facing, I think it would be foolish to do anything different. You've been awesome at home. You've won your last 16 at home. It's going to be a 3:30 game at home. Why would you do anything different? I am completely open to the idea of trying to change stuff up if they, if let's say they go on the road to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because of just how they've played on the road, you know, they played better, obviously, against Miami. But if they wanted to do something to switch some things up for that game, just because they'd lost him the last three times, they're like, hey, let's just try and do this a little bit differently. Maybe this is a spark, whatever. I can listen to that. But this week, if they win this game, next week,
don't touch it.
You should do exactly what you've been doing.
Don't touch it.
Yeah. Right.
That would be interesting to see if they do upend it going into San Francisco. You just completely change everything.
You guys don't think San Fran's going to get upset at all?
No.
What do you mean?
I'm telling you, the Rams.
Beaten before then?
The Rams have a good chance, yeah. But I'm taking the Niners 10 times out of 10.
Who are you thinking?
I don't know. I just get a sense that there's going to be one heck of an upset that nobody's seeing coming.
It's going. It's the NFL play.
Like Packers over Cowboys?
Stop.
No.
What, man?
Don't say that. You can't say that.
I don't work for the team. I can say wild stuff.
I can say whatever I want. let's talk about that Packers team a little bit here, unless there was any news and no.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Packers, got to check.
I really had to cook something up there.
Got it.
I saw you cooking.
I was like, the defense.
I was impressed with what you came up with, believe me.
Packers, the youngest team to make the playoffs since 1978 in terms of median age. They are a young ball club. Mm-hmm. Does that scare you a little bit in the fact that they're young? You can get a little overexcited. You can be, of course, you're led by a young quarterback. Jordan Love, by the way, first quarterback in Packers history to lead their team to the playoffs in his first season as the full-time starter.
Aware. You should be aware.
Didn't do that.
You should be aware. You should not be scared of anything that they're doing.
Okay.
What do you shouldn't be scared of their roster. You're playing at home. You're battle tested. There's nothing that the Packers bring that you should be scared of. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be looking back at what Vince Lombardi did or Mike McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre. That's all behind. This is
history.
A different Packers team. You've been great at home. There should be nothing that scares you. Be aware of that stuff by all means. You should definitely not take them lightly. They can beat you, but you should not be scared of that.
What would they do best? Based off of your early study.
It's funny because I think that they're probably at their best when they're throwing it around.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to go AT&T Stadium, throw it around?
That's a bad idea.
Let's see what happens.
Bad idea.
I don't think that's a great idea. I think that you probably need to run the ball. I thought it was interesting. NFL Research tweeted out that stat yesterday about of all players that have ever gone against the Cowboys at least three times or more rushing-wise, the highest rushing average any running back has ever had against the Cowboys is Aaron Jones. It's like at 120 point something. So two is Barry Sanders and three is Walter Payton. So I think their best bet is to run the football and keep the Cowboys offense on the sideline.
Yeah.
But their best thing is probably throwing it around. I mean, Jordan Love had a big year statistically with his arm. He's got some weapons on the outside, but I think that's a foolish game plan to go in AT&T Stadium and think that you guys want to get in a shootout with this Cowboys offense.
Yeah, and that running back room has been just so banged up this year, too.
Yeah.
It's interesting how they kind of approach this game. I will say that offensive line's been really good for them. They're allowing the fourth fewest sacks in the NFL. End of the season really strong, only allowed two in the final three games. So if they want to pass it around and they want to enact that play-action game that they do so well, then you know they've certainly shown that they can do that. But what will win? Is it the Cowboys' pass rush or is it the protection up front for Green Bay? If they can get some protection, then you know I think they'll be able to make some things happen. But if they can't, I just don't see where this offense finds consistency. That's me specifically. They also do really well out of the halftime break. I think this is something to kind of point out. They score the second most points in the NFL, or actually the most points in the NFL in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Cowboys are bottom five in the league in the third quarter. So I think coming out of the break, really strong with those halftime adjustments. If the Cowboys can kind of mitigate that and do those two things, if they can attack the pass, Jordan Love and come out of the half strong, they win this game comfortably in my eyes.
And you mentioned the run game and how much they didn't rely on that early in the season. I mean, when they've been winning these games late, they've relied on Aaron Jones. Last three games, he had 127, 120, 111. So, I mean, they used him quite a bit, and he had 20-plus carries in each of those games. With Aaron Jones, and I, like you said, they've had a banged-up running back room. Do you feel better now going up against a two-headed attack out of the backfield than you did a couple weeks ago? Just based off of what you've done these last 3 weeks, if you're the Cowboys, after Buffalo torched you for 266?
Yeah, I think there's that's healthy.
A little bit of Higgins confidence. Is up back. I mean, yeah. That's a huge part of it.
That's big.
I think so. I mean, this is. I feel like they're playing themselves offensively.
Yeah,
this is a West Coast offense, like.
Packers?
Yeah, like to the T. Like, this is the route combinations, the concepts. I mean, this is literally Coach McCarthy reincarnated on that side with less weapons. So our defense should be very familiar with this style of offense. I think the biggest challenge to the Dallas Cowboys defense this week is going to be communication. I truly believe it's going to be communication just because of how these guys get to their route concepts. They're running a lot of bunch sets, tons of bunch sets. And even when they're not in bunch, they motion to a bunch or they shift to some type of bunch. Everything's a 3-by-1. Like, almost everything they do comes out of a 3-man route combination, and it's hard to decipher who has who. And when you're trying to play man-to-man, communication becomes very important because you need to figure out, hey, on these switch releases, you know, who's taking what guy? Are we in and out in this? Are we locking it? When you're playing zone, if he has time back there, these concepts can eat up the zone in a heartbeat. And you have to play it balanced because they have a running – they do have these guys that have a solid running attack. I don't think they're home run hitters. They're definitely not home run hitters at the running back position in terms of their scheme. But they definitely like to create shorter down of distances. They want to have this team is more disciplined in terms of just having long withstanding drives. They want to end up in 2nd and 4. They want to end up, you know, in 3rd and 3. Like, they're comfortable in that position. And then it makes it difficult for you to really be aggressive because they only need a handful of yards to get the first down and move the chains. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to take the big boy shots over the top. They don't feel the necessity to do so. So these guys are patient in that regard, and I think that's going to be the greatest challenge to Dallas. Can you communicate in a passing game? Can you negate even their ability to get 3 or 4 yards on the ground, right? You're not trying to stop them from cutting back and taking this thing, you know, taking the top off it. These guys just want to be a manageable down and distance, and they are disciplined enough to keep going it like that the whole game. So conditioning is going to be huge as well. And then you have to get some stops. And to your point, they can't win in a shootout, but they do a good job of having sustained drives.
To the point of getting stops, I think one of the more important things I'd put this top three in this game is winning the time of possession battle.
Yeah.
And we've seen that be so critical for the Cowboys this year. And whenever they possess the ball 35 minutes or more, they're undefeated, 6-0. So especially in a game like this where you're going to try to mitigate the run and limit what Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon do out of the backfield, you want to take the ball out of a quarterback that's a top 5 passer in the league, 2nd in touchdowns, you got to win that time of possession battle.
And it's really weird that his stat line is like that. It's mainly because because it's a West Coast offense, he gets the ball out of his hand relatively quickly, right? So that's why I would imagine his stats were like that. But I don't like his ball. Like, I don't like his ball. It's weird. His ball, like, floats. There's no velocity on his throws whatsoever.
That was a knock on him coming out of the draft, is that he didn't have enough, I guess, just plain and simple velocity oomph to it. Yeah, I mean, he's got a strong arm. Don't get me wrong. He can get it down the field.
He can get it down the field, but it's in the air forever.
Yeah.
So in regards to, and again, I didn't do a bunch of research on Jordan Love prior to this game, right? I'm looking at him in depth now, but like his ball, he's on time. So in terms of him not getting sacked, it makes sense because he's getting the ball out on time. But he's releasing the ball so early that the defensive backs have just as great of an opportunity to find the ball in the air than the receiver does. And it's not getting there in a quick manner. So if you can be in good position and you can get your head turned around, I think our DBs have a great chance of getting multiple interceptions in this game.
Multiple.
I mean, the ball seems like it's in the air for 20 minutes. And I'm not talking about 1 or 2 throws. I'm watching a lot of his stuff, and I'm like, yo, like this,
I know I've already brought it up a couple of times this week, but I think it's just it's an important note in this game. The Cowboys' rare opportunity that they have the experience advantage in a playoff game. And this is definitely one whenever you're going up against the Packers' offense. The oldest guy in their entire pass or in their entire ball-catching room, whether that be receivers or tight ends, is Christian Watson, and he's 24 years old.
Yeah.
And their top six leading receivers are either rookies or second-year guys. I mean, it's crazy. And then you got Jordan Love, a first-year starter. I think if you put the pressure on them early, you get points, take the ball, get points, and you sustain that over the course of the first half, and you make sure that they don't come out of the half strong, I think they win this game by two scores.
You go up, really, you go into the fourth quarter up 14, and you don't blow that
please
lead.
Please.
That sounds great. Force them to throw the ball around a little bit, get after it. I want to continue this conversation a little bit when we come back. Talking about the defensive matchup versus Green Bay, where is this defense going to spread? Plus, I want to play a little game with you guys. Isaiah's not allowed to play unless he puts his phone down because we have the same notes. We share the same Google Doc. So when we come back here on Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone, on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. This portion of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats are the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. You made the road trip back yesterday. You got back in town. Did you get your oats in this morning?
I did not. I had my baby girl with me, and she's not allowed in the lunchroom, so I did not get my Quaker Oats with me.
So what did you eat?
Actually, Wednesday mornings are usually our Waffle House stop. We stopped there. Yeah, we did a Waffle House.
I'm gonna join y'all one of these days,
bro. Yeah.
What's your go-to?
But right now, my wife and I are having a competition right now in terms of body composition, so it's not the place that I necessarily should be going.
Get the chocolate chip waffle.
Yeah, what you get?
I had waffle and eggs. I ate a bunch of eggs. Mm-hmm. A bunch of eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Disappointing.
I only ate half my waffle though.
He was there to do the Waffle House challenge.
Yeah. Jeez. That would ruin that
half
place
a waffle
for
and
me.
Four eggs.
Yeah. I would never go to Waffle House ever again.
Nope. I got to get back on track. I had a lot
how
of...
How do you...
We went to the movie theater down there in Houston. You ever been to a movie theater that has a VIP... Shut up, Kyle. Has a VIP section? There's a V. You can pay for a VIP ticket.
That's the most Houston thing I've ever heard.
Bro, it's like Isaiah thing. Bro, so it's heard. Sectioned off, right? So it's a whole another part of the building, right? It has its own movie theaters. Bottle and you have service. Unlimited... Exactly. Listen, unlimited ices... Fountain drinks and popcorn.
There's the bottle service.
That's the bottle service. Yeah. They come with like,
right?
Happy birthday, sign. Isaiah.
Bro, it was so worth it.
Says, go Huskies. They got like Slurpees in their hands.
Like, it was so worth it, bro.
So
like,
I only went one time to one of those. I'm not going to say the name of the theater, but yeah. The one where you can eat there.
Yeah.
And this dude that was sitting like two rows behind got like some like chocolate sundae, and it was in like a, you know, in the glass type sundae thing. Yeah. And just like, ding, ding, ding. Yeah, scraping out every leg. Like, I mean, you're in the middle of the movie, like, bro. Did you get it all? We good?
I hate
trying to watch this thing.
That
here.
Drives
I'll
me
never
insane.
Do it again.
I hate like unnecessary ding, noises, so yeah. That drives ding, me crazy.
You got like another section in the corner, and they're buying like all the ices. You're like, never give me 20. Never.
Give me another round. Another round. It was awesome though, because my son was like killing his ice. He's like, he's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, it's gone. Do you want another one? Like, I'm gonna go get you another.
I'll
one.
Get you one more as long as you stop.
Just tell me what I missed in a movie.
That's good. That's
what'd
funny.
You go see?
Aquaman.
Okay, how
was
it?
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. I liked it.
You didn't like the first one.
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not like the first one.
I'm actually shocked that you went
to the first one was pretty soft. But I mean, the first one was pretty soft, but I liked the second one.
All right. Let's get back to football. Green Bay wins 7 of their last 10 to go into the playoffs and to make the postseason. Isaiah was talking about it a little bit. The makeup of this team, the way that they work effectively down the field. I want to play a little game with you guys.
Ooh.
Where do you guys think these two ranks, or let me rephrase, which team do you think ranks higher in these categories? So more efficient between the Cowboys and the Packers. We'll start with average pass EPA. Do you think it's the Cowboys or the Packers that ranks higher?
Explain what average pass EPA is again.
So it's expected play, basically, is EPA is when you decide to throw a pass. It's the expected analytics of how successful and how many yards it does on average, basically.
Okay.
It's kind of a hard thing to explain without reading the exact.
It's a tough question being that these are the same offenses pretty much, Kyle.
I would take similar. The Packers here, though, because I feel like they take a little bit more downfield shots.
Okay. It's a good question.
I mean, I hate to just make fun of your game here, but have you guys looked at the Packers schedule?
Yeah.
The Cowboys might have two losses against that schedule. So none of these stats will surprise me.
Green Bay
is not in the playoffs if they play the Cowboys schedule.
Chicago, Atlanta, New Orleans, Detroit.
Show me a loss on there that the Cowboys play that.
Detroit, maybe.
At Detroit, maybe.
At Detroit.
Chiefs. Oh, one.
They won at Detroit.
You know that? You're sure about that, the Chiefs at that point?
Yeah,
okay, so we'll give them two.
Point. Yeah, the Chiefs weren't playing very
at
good.
At Chicago, come on.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's terrible.
It was against a bad Rams team. It was against the bad Broncos team that they lost to
3 weeks ago. I just want to keep everything in perspective.
No, that's a good point. No, I'm glad you did. But average pass EPA, John, which one do you think feel like
I'll go Packers. I mean, there's this daunting schedule. I don't know how they got past it. I don't know how they started out 2-5, honestly, looking at this.
It is pretty bad. Cowboys actually rank higher. They're second in the league in average pass EPA.
Oh, yeah.
The Packers are fifth. What about run EPA, rush EPA? Do you think that's Packers far and away, or you think it's the Cowboys?
I would think Packers on that.
Both of them have had kind of an under the... they've kind of...
Stop trying to look at the screen.
No, I'm not. They've kind of fell short of expectations.
Put that down. Stop.
Yeah, I just,
he's over here cheating.
He's looking at the same notes.
I would take Cowboys.
Okay.
Slightly.
I'm going to guess Cowboys, Kyle.
I hate you. It's the Cowboys. Which surprised me whenever I looked at it is the fact that the Cowboys, like you said, sneaky season, but not the rushing campaign that you thought that they were going to have. You thought Dallas was going to be effective running the football. They're 7th in the league in average rush EPA, and the Packers are 12th. A couple more, and honestly, John, you were making the point before I made the point to a certain extent. You talk about average pass EPA allowed. It's not on there.
I'm looking at the reflections.
Use your intuition here.
Hey, Zach.
Average pass EPA allowed, Cowboys 7th, Packers 23rd. Average rush EPA allowed, Cowboys 10th, Packers are 23rd.
Mm.
Cowboys have no business messing around in this game early is ultimately the point that I was trying to make, which, and to add to it, John talking about the schedule specifically, top to bottom, this was against a much worse schedule competition-wise than what Dallas had in, at any point in the campaign.
So what about this offense gives you the bubble guts, honestly?
About the Packers, offense?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about today, right? Packers offense.
Efficiency. But, okay. That doesn't give me bubble guts. I think it's just something they do well. There's nothing that gives me bubble guts.
That doesn't bother you?
I would say the biggest thing is just them coming into the game, nothing to lose, and you just get some guys that just play above what they normally play.
Just their offense.
About the Packers offense. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, Jordan Love has these floaters that you're talking about, and they're just not picked. They just end up getting completed. Goes, that's usually what I'm talking about. That would be the only thing. Again,
kind of like a,
Again, though,
big playability too.
See, I'm not a Cowboys fan, so when I say things like this, I don't care about the jinxes. People always, oh, don't say that, you're going to jinx, whatever, like that. I'm just like, I've seen this Cowboys team play too many times at home for me to sit there and think that, for me to expect anything other than to win this game.
I don't really care where the game's being played. I just think,
you don't think it matters? 16 in a row? How come nobody else is doing that? Why isn't nobody else even close to doing that if it's just not a big deal?
I know that it matters to the outside, but I'm talking about, I look at personnel matchups. I don't give a dog on where I play. We can play at the playground for all I'm care.
Well, right? But this particular team that we cover isn't in that realm.
I hear you, but I'm looking at matchups. And when I look at matchups, I feel confident in Dallas's ability. I want to see Jordan Love under pressure.
My argument to that is I can look at matchups where you're like, Cowboys advantage, Cowboys advantage, Cowboys advantage, and it can be on the road, and I'll be like, I still don't know about this game. So that's the only problem with this particular team.
I hear you. I hear you. So taking that out of it, taking out where you're playing at, I'm looking at the players.
Yeah.
And that's what I look at. Okay, I look at
the players. And I'm looking at the players, too. If all their alarm clocks wake them up at the exact same time, they take the same route to the stadium, I really like their chances.
I like Dallas's chances, too. I foresee the only problem with this team being that they are consistent and they are persistent, right, in their ability to be balanced offensively.
You're talking about Green Bay?
That's all we're talking about today, right? Yeah. So, I mean, their ability to be balanced bothers me.
Efficient.
Their efficiency bothers me. Like, and that should bother Dallas. And they are going to have to do something to disrupt that. You can't – the Gilmore injury affects how aggressive you could be in the secondary.
Mm-hmm. Physically,
right? So now you're asking your guys to play coverage, whether it's man or zone, from off. You're asking your guys to play off coverage now because Gilmore's not going to be able to come up and jam up people with that shoulder, regardless if he's on the field or not, okay? And if he can't come up and jam, then nobody else is really going to come up and jam, right? Because you have to be able to decipher who's doing what and who's playing who. And the concepts that they run, I have a little bit of bubble guts that they take the win out of the Dallas's sail.
Mm-hmm.
Being that they're at home, right, John? Because going to your point, energy and all that jazz, and you're getting hyped up, and it's third down, it's third and three, and it's, the mood of chains. Okay, now here goes third down again. And they move the chains, right? And just them just being able to sustain drives and winning that time of possession that you're talking about, Nick, right? Being able to take the win out of Dallas' sales and not just getting really close to making big plays, but them just not happening, right? And that's my only fear that I have about Dallas' defense versus Green Bay's offense. There's nothing lightning about it. There's nothing that's gonna I don't fear a big spark from these guys. It's not a Dolphins. It's not a Buffalo. It's not a big play type team. It's just a team that's just gonna chip away. All right, did we score? Awesome. Okay, now we're just hoping that our defense can make a stop. Right? And then if you don't score on offense, then they're right back to it. Chip away. And all of a sudden you're looking around, you're like, dang, it's a doggone third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's my only fear. If I have one, that is it.
I'll say this. I think the best defense for the Cowboys on Sunday is their offense. Yeah. If they could chip away some clock, again, win that time of possession battle and really get it going.
I'm not doing this.
Derek Eagleton with a shout-out over there. I think if they could just have long, sustained drives and keep that offense off the field, then it just whittles down their opportunity to win. I don't see – we'll talk more about it tomorrow. I think there's a ton of opportunities for this Cowboys offense tomorrow. But yeah. That's how I see it.
Does that make sense, though?
It does.
It does.
Okay, so, just consistency, man. Like, I know a lot of times we want to sit up here and talk about splash players and how, big play. That's not them. That's not – and they don't – third down doesn't bother them. There's some teams where third down, they're like, they get jittery. They're like, oh, crap, here we go. It's third down. Right, here comes Dallas with their blitz, and here comes Dallas with their pass rushers. I don't see them being nervous about that. Now, they need to respect the crap out of it, but I don't foresee Green Bay coming in here being nervous about third down situations in this pass rush. Now, you have to earn that right by going out there and taking care of business on Sunday. You hit Jordan Love a couple times in his mouth, then they have a reason to fear it. But I don't foresee them coming in with a fear. I think they come in with a respect and a high regard. But again, because of the scheme that they run, this is Dallas's offense. For all those people that haven't watched film yet, this is pretty much what Dallas does offensively, except for they do it a lot more with two tight ends, and they do it a lot more out of the bunch formation.
Yeah.
And so you're worried about them getting the ball out quick?
They're going to.
And just slowly.
And I'm worried about them getting the ball out quick and us playing soft in the secondary because of what we have out there and what their capabilities are. I don't want this team to be able to keep just work this way down the field.
I don't see why you would play soft against them. The reason why I say that is because be aggressive. They beat you on a big one. Oh, well. Now you get the ball. Now you go do the same thing to their defense.
I totally agree, but Gilmore, like, I'm projecting based upon my personal experience. I don't foresee Gilmore having the capabilities of being able to be pressed and be physical.
Well, I'm saying that with that, he can possibly get beat. Let's say they give up a couple touchdowns. Well, then you come right back at them.
Yeah.
You don't sit back and let them slowly bleed you like that. You just don't do that. You come up and you play aggressive. They beat you in a couple of plays. They beat you in a couple of plays because you can't sit there and let them just beat you with a constant quick game. You need to allow – the best thing you have going for you on defense, as far as I'm concerned, is that health of your edge rushers. I mean, Mike Parsons is healthy. DeMarcus Lawrence is healthy. Dorrance Armstrong is healthy. Dante Fowler. Like, you have all these dogs ready to eat. You have to allow them to eat.
Yep, I agree. So. I am with you. Trust me.
I think it's a good conversation because this is a team – in Green Bay that has a similar mindset, a similar game plan, or might have a similar game plan as to what Buffalo did to you a couple weeks ago. They're not nearly as physical. No. They're not nearly as talented as Buffalo. I'm not comparing the talent and the physicality, but that's what Buffalo did. They moved the chains. They kept going. It wasn't the big play ability. It was the run game. It was bleeding you to death, and it was just death by a thousand cuts. Mm-hmm. That's what Green Bay would like to do to take the crowd out of it early, whether or not they're good enough to do it. That's still to be seen because I agree with John. I think health-wise, this is a Cowboys team that's going to have a lot in their favor. All right, when we come back here on Talking Cowboys, little national storylines to get you ready for Super Wild Card Weekend. We got some stuff coming up here on the other side of the break. More Talking Cowboys right after this.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is four of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's GetJackBlack.com. JackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. This segment of the show is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. Isaiah Stanback, John Machota, Nick Harris, Chris Beam in the back, and Kyle Yeomans. All right, John, national storylines. It's playoff time.
Wild card, baby.
Here we go. We're jumping all the way to Super Bowl here. Super Bowl odds coming at you.
That didn't take long.
Who do you think is the favorite to win the Super Bowl right now?
Baltimore.
49ers.
It's 49ers.
Dang it.
They're plus 225. Ravens are second at plus 325. Who do you think is third?
The Bills.
I agree with you there. Yeah, give me Buffalo.
They've been hot.
So there's a drop-off between the Bills. I mean, sorry, the 49ers and Ravens. Then it's the Bills at three.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very close between the Bills and who's at four.
I know the answer. I'm
not Dallas.
Right. Yeah. So do you guys look at that as kind of it's those four and then everybody else?
Yeah.
No, because I feel like any other team in the NFC could catch Dallas on the wrong day for sure. Likewise for the Bills. You know, I feel like the Bills could get tripped up at some point.
Yeah,
all it takes is Josh Allen throwing three picks and the Steelers are in the divisional round.
It's kind of like what we talked about a little bit.
I think it was those four.
It was either Monday or it was yesterday when we were talking about how there's six teams in my head that can win it all. There's six teams. And Baltimore, San Francisco, Buffalo, Dallas. I would say Detroit and maybe Kansas City. I don't think any of those other teams can win at all.
Kansas City has a chance this year.
That's why I said maybe Kansas City. So maybe five and a half teams.
I'm a little bit more pessimistic. I really only see like two.
Yeah.
See, but that's the NFL, though.
Yeah, like, I
agree with you logistically. I would say it's Baltimore, San Francisco, but it never works out like that. Yeah. And if it does, it does. I mean, they're the one seeds for a reason.
So Vegas is with you for the most part, except for on your Detroit.
Okay.
So Vegas actually has, after the Cowboys, they have the Chiefs, Eagles, Dolphins, and then the Lions. The Lions are plus 2,000. It's a long, long road. My thing on the Lions, so I haven't looked this up, and I probably should have, is – I just don't know, like, a Dan Campbell, you know, your first time coaching a team in the playoffs. Like, it just seems hard for that to be a team to go to the Super Bowl. Like, usually you have to kind of get there, you know, kind of.
Isn't it Mike McDaniel's first time, too, though?
I also don't think they're winning the Super Bowl. So,
yeah, well, I know, but I'm saying compared to the Vegas odds specifically.
Sure. But it's not that much higher than the Lions. Yeah. And then the other one I want to talk about is most likely Super Bowl matchup. Obviously, the first is going to be the 49ers-Ravens. What do you think is the next most likely Super Bowl matchup?
Dallas Baltimore Ravens. And Dallas.
No, on either of those teams.
Dang it.
Either of them.
Yeah.
So Buffalo and
Bills-Niners?
Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I had a vision that it was going to be Baltimore and Dallas. Just saying.
And then what do you think
when was this vision? Hold on, was this like last week?
Bro, I think I was asleep a couple days ago. Seriously.
Okay.
I don't dream. I really don't dream.
So it was
and like
vision.
I woke up and like it was like, you know, something's like, you feel like you're in it. I'm like, yeah,
that's so Raven.
I'm like Dallas versus Raven. I'm like, Dallas versus Baltimore. All right. Weird. I know, bro. I know.
We're going to circle back on this.
Dude, we're totally going to clip this.
So 40... Baltimore and Dallas?
Baltimore, Dallas. No, that's what I have.
49ers, 49ers, Ravens is
I don't know
one.
It happens, but it happens.
49ers, Bills is two. What do you think is three?
Now Baltimore and Dallas.
No.
Dang
Steelers,
it.
Lions.
San Francisco, Kansas City.
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it's San Francisco, San Francisco, San Francisco.
Yep.
Against the top three teams in the AFC.
Yep.
Interesting.
And then fourth is Cowboys Ravens.
Oh, finally.
Very close.
Cowboys
Ravens is very close to 49ers Chiefs. It's very, very close.
I know nothing about betting. There was a guy that was sitting in front of me from ESPN. There was like a whole crew from ESPN.
You could have just asked Dave Portnoy.
No, so dude, I probably could, But dude like turns around. He's like, hey, you think they're going to cover the 55? I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, bro.
you said
the disgust on his face. He looked. I said, I don't know anything about betting, bro. Yeah. He was like, I was like, what, bro?
I do think that's funny, though, because we're all obviously sports fans here at heart.
Uh-huh.
And I do think it's interesting how we all can't be obsessed with every part of it. And there's some parts that you enjoy more than others. And I'll give you a great example of something that I think me and this gentleman are very different on.
Uh-oh.
And that is knowing the playoff scenarios.
Yeah.
Like you and Saad Youssef are like super into them. Like even after the game, like we went down outside the locker room when there's still like a couple minutes left in the game in Washington. And Saad knew every single one of them. Like, no, if Packers win, then it's whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm embarrassed at how much I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, but like I don't know him like that. So like I think it was last week we did the show and you like had them all like listed. Like I do not follow that stuff at all. And I want to say about 3 or 4 weeks ago, CD was asked about it. And CD was like, I don't know, man. I just see what you guys write or whatever. And I was just like, CD, I've never agreed with you more about anything. Like, I'm just like, there's just so much different things, especially with the way that everything ended at the end of that Washington game. It was down to like the last minute, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just think, to your point, like, I don't think we can be all like into every single, there's just so much that goes on with social media. There's so many different things that you can know about. It's, I mean, it is, there's a lot out there too. So I completely get you not giving an F about.
I'll say the Rams coming back and beating the Niners late in that game, it made it very exciting because you look at it on paper and you're like, okay, if they win this game, that means they're going to be the sixth. They won't see the Cowboys until at least the NFC Championship game. They have to go through the Niners. If they lose, they're coming here next week. And I feel like that's the hottest team in the NFC when all their starters are playing.
Yeah, we were on the first word. We were finishing up the first word broadcast, and I had it on my computer. We had already found out all the scenarios, and we were going back and forth. And I mean, Isaiah, Nate, and Barry were in the middle of talking, and I'm just sitting there, just watching, like the final snaps of the Los Angeles game, just to see who's winning where. And it gets kind of crazy there at the end.
Last one, it kind of in fact it impacts the Cowboys a little bit just because it's the NFC East. So I like drama, and there's obviously some going on in New York right now. So Giants defensive coordinator Wink Martindale reportedly cursed out Brian Daboll, the Giants head coach, after – so
a lot of spit in that conversation, I would imagine.
Their season obviously ended. Yeah. Their season obviously ended, and there were coaching staff changes. Mm-hmm. And some of those changes included a couple of Wink Martindale's closest confidants on the defensive side. And while the Giants want Wink Martindale to stay as the DC, he was furious with these changes. And this is all from a New York Post report. Stormed out, and next thing you know, that there's pictures of him at the airport flying to Florida. He was spotted on Tuesday morning at Newark Liberty International Airport.
Oh, you went to Newark?
Wearing a black sleeveless vest, which he always does, Yankees cap and joggers. So, I mean, this is just such a New York thing for, like, everyone to have, like, the video and, like, pictures and everything like that. So I believe he has a 1 year left on his contract. They still want him to be the DC. Daboll still wants him to be the DC. But it's kind of up in the air right now because this is a time of year when even when your season's over, generally your coaches are doing exit meetings and things like that. So they're usually not storming out and then leaving. And just the fact that it's in New York.
That wasn't the only drama they had in New York. Saquon Barkley opted out of his little, optional
player option.
Exit meeting. Yeah, they had optional exit meetings. He was like, yeah, no, I'm good. He was like, well, if you guys are going to tag me, just tag me now. Like I went through this last year. Like
He's not showing up to camp.
He's
not showing up to camp.
He's pissed.
He gets tagged.
I think his quote was, they have my number. They can call me.
He's pissed.
Yeah.
He knows what they're going to do. They're going to tag him again.
You guys still think Brian Daboll's the guy there? I mean, he'll be the coach next year, but when they first hired him, I was like, man, I think that's the right hire. I think that's a great hire for them. And now I'm like,
we were talking about it week one. Yeah, I remember being on this show going into that and saying, Daboll's got that thing working in the right direction.
He might be better. He might be one of the guys who's just a better OC.
Yeah.
Might be.
Everybody's not a great head coach.
And you can have a flash in the pan as a head coach and not be a good head coach. Like, you can have some success just based off of, hey, it's a new hire, so everybody wants to impress the new coach. But, like, establishing a culture is a different thing.
Can you be a good head coach or a great head coach without being a good or great coordinator?
Yes. Because your head coach, your job is a manager of men.
Can you get to that job in the NFL without having the coordinator or
probably not? I don't see that. No.
Yeah.
I think I see what you're saying. Yeah. You have to have that.
Antonio Pierce is probably the best example of that. You know,
like, and he might be a great coordinator. We just don't know. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's why I give credit.
He's an exception because of his career.
Right. True.
Yeah.
That's why I give credit, though, to what Mike McCarthy has done. Because he came in and did not have a great first year. But did he waver after that? No. No, he's continued establishing a culture. He did what he needed to do to turn that team from 6 wins in 2020 to 12 wins in 2022, or excuse me, in 2021, and then you had 12 wins in 22, 12 wins now in 23. So I give credit. I mean, sustained success in the NFL is the hardest thing to do.
Dan Campbell has never been an offensive coordinator, by the way.
Oh, Dan
Campbell,
go.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So he was a tight ends coach. And
that is a good assistant.
How'd you find this so fast?
He's Chris Beam.
It's freaking Beamer, baby.
He knows Dan.
Beam.
AI Beamer.
I know Dan, and I didn't remember him being an OC.
Right.
So he was assistant head coach for the Saints, and that's kind of what he got. He was assistant.
He called Dan.
I was just about to say that.
He called that's a good one for sure.
He got, like, hey, he shot him a text message.
Exactly.
Said, hey, have you ever been a two-way coordinator?
He's like, no, man, but, you know, I never reported as an offensive coordinator.
Man, Beam, I just love talking to you, man.
Shots
love hanging for it. I like it, though. I'll be here all week.
Yeah, nice job.
This week, I'll be here all week.
We will be here all week.
We will be here all week.
That's great. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday morning, 9 a.m. Central Time. We'll give you a little QB vision. Mm-hmm. Cowboys offense versus the Packers defense. That was terrible.
You blocked it, bro.
I did not touch that. I just played solid defense. Just got terrible. My hand in your face.
Oh, man.
I'll take frame.
For Chris Beam, Isaiah Stanback, John Machota, Nick Harris, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow with more Talking Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this?